Intrepid Radio, this is Control. We are go for an on-air check.
Control, Intrepid. We copy an on-air check.
Intrepid, this is Control. You are go for Intrepid Radio. Cue music and cue talent. Intrepid, you are live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Intrepid Radio, you are live and the clock is running. You are listening to Intrepid Radio, where we spotlight innovators defining the new rules of marketing, business, politics, and life. And now, here's your host, Todd Schnick.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Intrepid Radio. I am your host, Todd Schnick. I'm really excited about this conversation. This is a classic case of two gentlemen who connected on Twitter and through a wee bit of dialogue discovered that my guest occasionally comes to Atlanta, and so I extended an invitation to get together in the studio and talk about our mutual favorite subject. And so I haven't really told him this yet, but I'm hoping this becomes a regular occurrence that we have ongoing conversations on the subject of writing and creativity. I really want to welcome Jeff Goines to the show. Welcome.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And it's a real pleasure to meet you. I'm glad we finally got a chance to connect and do this.
Yeah, likewise.
Well, thank you for making the time. Before we get into a chat, Jeff, why don't you take a few minutes and just walk us through a little bit about your story and your background?
Yeah, sure. Well, I am originally from Illinois, from the Chicago area, and I went to school there, spent all my life there, graduated college, joined a band, and toured for about a year. Wrote letters to my girlfriend for that year and chased her down to Tennessee, where she was moving to get involved in music, and that turned into my wife, so it worked out okay. And we've been living there for about the past 5 years. For that same time, I've been blogging, getting involved in social media. I helped start a marketing team at a Georgia-based nonprofit. And just this past year, have really started pursuing a writing career. And launched a new blog. I've seen quite a bit of success with that and have just had a lot of fun, and I'm working on my first book that'll come out this fall.
Well, we're going to talk about the book in a minute. Seeing a little bit of success with your blog is putting it lightly. We're talking to a guy here, my friends, who has been published on sites such as Copyblogger and ProBlogger and on Michael Hyatt's site and Write to Done. These are some serious resources if you're into writing and creativity, but you're not a full-time writer, or do you consider yourself a full-time writer?
Right, no, I mean, it's something that I do on nights and weekends and early mornings, so, and I would say that was, you know, I've always had a passion for writing, but that was one of the biggest things that was holding me back from really getting serious about the craft of writing was it wasn't my full-time job. I didn't own a cabin in the mountains. And, you know, so I had this stereotype in my mind of things that I ought to have or needed to have before I could start. And, if I've learned anything about life, you know, there's no perfect time to start. You just have to begin. So, yeah, I mean, I do consider myself a writer and a professional. But, yeah, it's something that I don't do 40 hours a week. Or if I do, I'm finding those 40 hours in some places that, aren't 9 to 5.
Well, this notion of being able to be a writer and a creative in that respect whilst holding a regular day job, mm-hmm. what I hope the audience gets from that simple message is that you don't have to be a full-time writer and write for 8 hours a day to put out a lot of meaningful content, make a difference, affect an audience, big or small. It really just can be something that you do in some extra hours but if you have passion for it, you find the time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I have friends who are full-time authors, and I've read a lot of stories about professional writers, and they don't write 8 hours a day. Very few of them do that. They write 3 to 6 hours a day, because for most of us, creativity happens in bursts, and so it's not really productive to sit in front of the computer and write for 8 or 9 hours straight. And a lot of writers, most who make it as full-time authors, do the 1 or 2 hours a day when they can. John Grisham, who is a wildly successful best-selling author, started, he was a lawyer, so he was incredibly busy, and he would just get up 1 hour early every day and he'd write a page. And he did that for years before he started publishing books and moving out of the practice of law. So it's I think that's what has been challenging for me, is it's totally doable, and there's this precedent of authors and writers for, you know, decades, if not centuries, who have done it like that.
See, I have this belief, and I talk to people about it. I blog about this subject, and I coach my clients on it, that we are all creatives. Now, that doesn't mean you're a musician, doesn't mean you're a painter, doesn't mean that you're a professional writer, but there's a creative element to your daily life, even if that is merely you solving problems at a workplace. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that notion of that we're all creatives?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we're all creative. I think that people can spend a lifetime, though, trying to find their art because they have an idea of what creativity looks like. And, I do think that what creative as a noun, which is like a newer thing, which is really a moniker applied to, in the business world, a lot of times to marketing and advertising type people. There's definitely, that's a certain type of artist, you know, and I've worked with those people, and they're different from, somebody who works in finance who is a CEO. But yeah, I think we all, I mean, if we're doing work, if we're producing something, then we're creators, in some sense of the word. And so, yeah, I mean, it requires creativity to create something. And people who don't consider themselves creative, I think, struggle with that because they don't realize that a lot of artists just steal, right? They just borrow a bunch of ideas and hodgepodge them together until they finally have something that looks original. And so they go, well, this isn't original. I'm just doing what I would do. And I think Derek Sievers has a great video about that on his website, where he talks about he knows all these creative people, and he doesn't really consider himself creative, and so he would write emails to his friends and go, hey, this is so awesome that you did this, and I could never do that. And they're like, oh no, that was just something I did that was really obvious to me. And then started CD Baby and did all these interesting things, and one day he got an email from somebody and they said, wow, you are so creative, I can never be that creative. And he goes, well, that's interesting. Maybe creativity is just doing what's obvious to you and brilliant to somebody else. And I love that.
Derek Sievers is my biggest disappointment as a podcaster, and that I have yet to land him on one of my shows. We've connected a lot, and we've tried. Him living on the exact opposite side of the earth right now makes it a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
But I love all his stuff. Steve Pressfield talks about this notion of the professional.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not talking about it necessarily as a you're getting revenue from your writing. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about a professional writer, well, professional artist or creative, I guess. He's talking more about a mindset. What's your take on it? You described yourself as a professional writer.
Yeah. I mean, the War of Art is great. That's really a great handbook for any writer or creative person or entrepreneur, anybody who feels that they're doing some sort of creative work and there's battle and bloodshed involved. It's a must read. Yeah, he really challenges me. I love what he says about turning pro. He says you have to turn pro in your head before you can do it on paper as a writer. And I was just at a conference this weekend, and I talked about when I turned pro. And I've been writing my whole life, but it's always been something that I thought, well, I'm not doing this, I'm not getting paid to do it, or if I, write a random piece for a magazine, I mean, it's not a full-time job, and so how could I call myself a writer? And I didn't realize that I was sabotaging my work because I wasn't taking it seriously, and so I was always just sort of playing around. And I read that book, a couple of years ago, and then I had an experience about a year ago where a friend asked me what my dream was. And, I'm a young guy, and I have a bunch of friends who are in their mid to late 20s, and I have a lot of friends who are dreamers, and kind of hop around from one job to the next or one commitment to the next. And so that word has kind of a negative connotation for me. It's the same thing as saying you're flaky. And so I said, oh, I don't really have a dream. That's kids stuff. And he really pushed me, and he goes, oh, that's too bad. You know, I would have thought that your dream was to write. And that was just, you know, a punch in the gut for me. And it was totally true, and it resonated with something deep in me that I couldn't explain. And I said, well, yeah, I guess maybe someday, sort of, I'd like to be a writer or whatever. And he said, Jeff, you don't have to want to be a writer. That doesn't have to be your dream. And he had read my stuff, you know, and he said, you are a writer. You just need to write. And so I just started writing, and I stopped apologizing, and I started believing something about myself that seemed to be true. You know, it resonated with me, and people were affirming it around me. But at the same time, I just kind of doubted it. And I just, as an act of faith, said, I'm going to believe this is true. I'm going to live into this. And my writing got a lot better in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it really is a mindset.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I haven't published a book. Now I'm writing. Mm-hmm. I'm writing one, and I'm writing a series of different ebooks. And by the way, I want to commend you on some of the material that you give away. Some of your ebooks are really, really great. And I've also joined some of your online courses. And so I'll try to link up to some of those when we publish the show. But there's some great material there. Plus, your blog is just great stuff.
Cool. Thanks.
It was funny. I was sitting in the home office one weekend, probably a couple of weeks ago, and I was trying to reference an old post I had written several years ago, and so I had to dig deep into the blog to try to find it. That exercise led to a process where I began to review every blog I'd ever written,
right.
And it was a fascinating experience because I've been actively blogging on my thing since late 2008.
Yeah,
and when I look at some of your very first posts I wrote, they really sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was awful. Yeah. But I wasn't disappointed in it. I actually got a kick out of it because it was fun to see the evolution of where I was and where I'm going. And I suspect in a couple more years down the road, I'll look back at the stuff I'm writing now and laugh because your style changes and your mission and your purpose change. Thinking about the audience that's listening to this show, which is typically kind of a lone entrepreneur or solopreneur, and someone like you and me, or it's an organization that's trying to, that believes in and wants to kick off a content marketing strategy, but struggles with the what the heck do we write about?
Yeah.
There's some advice you can give to an individual, whether they're solo or whether they're working for an organization and integral in the content strategy. How do they begin to figure out what to write about?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's a hard thing because social media, content marketing, these are big buzzwords, and for larger organizations for people who just didn't get involved in the early adoption of some of these fads, you can kind of feel left out, and you're like, man, I want to get involved in this, but I don't know how to leverage this. You know, I don't even know where to begin. And so, you know, it might sound a little idealistic, but I think it's important to be passionate about the work. And so I think what that looks like is if you're a company who wants to get involved in content marketing, and content marketing is basically you write stuff that adds value to people's lives, and in that content, you're soft selling your program, product, or service. And so, you know, and you do that over time, you build a relationship with them, you earn permission to speak into the customer's life, and they trust you. And so eventually you can deliver whatever you want, you know, right into their laps, and they're going to buy it. In order to do that, you need to have somebody who loves content, who loves to write, you know. And so if that's you, if you're that person, then that's great. But if not, you probably need to hire that person. And if you're doing your own thing, either you have to find a way to be passionate about words and helping people and adding value to their lives and doing it well, you know, doing it in a way that's kind of artful and interesting. And you don't have to be following the MLA handbook, you know, that we got in high school or college, but you have to be able to connect with an audience and help them and not immediately try to, you know, leverage your platform to make a quick sale. So, you know, I think that's important. I think passion for helping people and delivering valuable content is essential.
Jeff, I found that when I first started blogging, I really labored to come up with ideas to write about. And the advantage I had at that point was I hadn't written anything yet, and so the world's my oyster and subjects I could talk about. But it was hard, and there's always that initial fear, oh, I don't want people to laugh and mock my work. And that's a whole separate conversation of how do you get over that and get over the fear of shipping. But I found with the discipline of trying, I mean, you write 4 or 5 times a week on your blog, right?
Yeah, something
like that. Mm-hmm. And I do a pretty similar practice and distribution schedule. Plus, I do stuff on email marketing, and I have other blogs and other things that I do. So I do a lot of writing. I found now that I am in the discipline and the habit of doing so, I keep my eyes open and my ears open a lot more than I used to, and I'm always looking for little things that spur ideas and inspire ideas. And it's fascinating that when you open your mind to it, the world gives you 1,000 things to write about a day if you're looking. Yep. Do you feel that same way?
Yeah. You know, I wrote a post about this several months ago, called The Secret to Effortless Writing. And that was sort of tongue-in-cheek because, writing isn't effortless. It's arduous. But I think, as we were talking before about people who consider themselves non-creative or aren't writers or, artists in the traditional sense of the word, look at something and go, here's this person who writes this blog or this book, and it's just so effortless for them. I could never do that. And, I sort of thought that way. And so for years, I kind of played around with writing, but I never disciplined myself on a daily basis. And so I was just kind of being reflective one morning, and I woke up at, 5 a.m. and had some coffee, had breakfast, wrote for an hour, wrote something like 15 to 2,000 words, a lot of words, and then went for a run, and ran about 6 or 7 miles and came back. And I just sat down outside in my chair on my porch, and I was like, what just happened? And one of the things that had happened was I had run for the past 5 days, every day in a row for at least, 5, 6, or 7 miles. And I couldn't believe that. I was like, my legs aren't sore. Like, I didn't even think about that. I just did it. And the same, and I looked at my writing and I was like, wow, the same thing happened here too. And I think most of us understand things like health and personal fitness, and you either understand it, because you've been successful in it or you've failed in it. And so you look at somebody who's, cut and super in shape and you go, wow, it must be easy to be them. And maybe it is. I mean, there's genetics and all kinds of things. And, it's easier for some people to pick up a basketball and play than it is for me. And it's probably easier for some writers to sit down and come up with creative ideas than others. But I think at the base level, for all things that are a craft, all things that are skills based, that have some sort of achievement at the end of them, practice is essential, and so the secret to effortless writing, the secret to anything effortless, is to show up. And I have to think of writing as that. It's not some mystical creative process. It's going to the gym. First time I pick up those dumbbells, kind of hard. The 150th time I pick it up, it's not hard anymore, but hopefully I'm still pushing myself because there's another level to aspire to. There's more muscle to build.
50% of the words I've written have never and will never see the light of day, but it honed the skill, right? I mean, so people think they have to publish everything they write, and that's not true. And a lot of what you write ought to be personal and ought to be because it clarifies your thinking. It helps you flesh out ideas. I mean, I a lot of people just Starbucks, pull out the Moleskine and just start jotting ideas. That's writing. That's creativity in my mind, and it's clarifying thoughts, which serves you in other capacities. We mentioned earlier that you got a book coming out. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was an interesting culmination in a pretty remarkable year. Last year, I wrote a guest post for a blog called Zen Habits.
Well, I didn't realize you'd written for Leo.
Yeah, I wrote a guest post for Leo, and it was called How to Have the Best Year of Your Life Without Setting a Single Goal. And it was my life, this past year. And I didn't set any goals, but all these amazing things happened to me as a result of creating some habits and disciplines around writing and personal fitness. I mean, those two things go hand in hand for me. And I'm not, you know, some super ripped guy, but, you know, I lost 20 or 30 pounds in the past couple of years. And something I'm realizing about life is, you know, writing is not different from going to the gym. You know, discipline begets more discipline. So if I can learn to be disciplined in one craft, I could be learning discipline in another. Anyway, one of those cool things that happened was I got a book deal with a publisher, and that was not something that I set out to do. It was something that I hoped would happen years down the line. But I wrote this short ebook, like an essay type thing, for a website called changethis.com, which is just a place where you can publish manifestos about ideas that you want to spread. I think Seth Godin helped to start it. And I published that years ago. And when my books or when my blog started to gain some traction last year, I went back to that website and I was like, oh man, they'll let you publish this anywhere, you know, because it's just a free thing. They want the idea to spread. And so I downloaded it and then uploaded it to my, you know, website and offered it as a free download. And months later, this acquisitions editor found it and goes and contacted me via email and asked if I had ever considered turning it into a book. And I said, not really. And so we, you know, we started this process of talking and led to my signing a contract in October. So the book is called Wrecked: When a Painful World Slams Into Your Comfortable Life. And you know, it's not about writing. I can't just write about writing all the time. It's about compassion, and I do a lot of work. You know, I work with a nonprofit organization that does a lot of development work and overseas work, a lot of international work. And so it's about what I think is one of the how you find your life's purpose, not by focusing on yourself, but by seeing the needs of others and helping them.
Well, that sounds great. What's the publishing schedule?
Well, I am finishing up the manuscript this week.
Oh, okay. So it's still pretty early in the process.
Yeah. So I turned that in this week, and then we'll spend several months editing it, and it'll come out this fall. Okay. At the latest October.
Okay. Well, we'll be sure to get you back on the show, and we'll talk about the book specifically.
Yeah, that'd be great.
When it's ready to do that. You mentioned Zen Habits, and we talked about Copy Blogger and Pro Blogger and all these other sources that you wrote for. John Morrow, who you know, I'm sure you know, who's associate editor with Copy Blogger, makes a big deal and does a lot of work around this notion of guest blogging and the importance and the business application towards guest posting. Your blog, your personal blog, has seen an awful lot of growth and is very successful. And when you look at it, there's 65, 75 comments per article. I mean, so it gets a lot of traffic. Do you attribute all those guest posts to helping build that audience? And how important is that?
I'd heard that too, and I really hadn't done much guest posting. You know, I've been blogging for 6 years, and you could stack up the previous 5 years and add all of the numbers and things that I had done in 5 years and compare it to what's happened to me in this past year, and it wouldn't even come close. You know, what I've done in 1 year has blown away anything that's happened in the past 5 years. And so I thought I knew a thing or two about blogging, and I just had no idea. So I kind of became a student of people like John and Copy Blogger, and just listened to everything that they had to say and tried to learn and pretended that I didn't know anything because I didn't. And so guest posting was certainly an important part of the strategy. Another thing that is kind of like the real life version of guest posting is networking. And I don't even like thinking of it like that. I just think relationships are important in life. And when people go on the internet, you know, sometimes there's this like social thing, you know, this misfire in your brain that happens where you treat people differently than you would in real life. And so I stopped doing that. You know, I realized that if I wanted to write that, you know, and get people to actually read my writing, that it was important to have, you know, people champion my work, not just me. And so guest posting is a way to do that, you know, to put your work into other communities, but just getting to know people, you know. So one of the ways that I got to know Leo and got to publish on his blog was I interviewed him for my blog about a year ago. And 9-10 months later, you know, as we stayed in touch, I emailed him an idea for a guest post, and he, you know, accepted it. So I think relationship building not just pitching is really important. And it's so easy to do now if we just go out of our way a little bit.
Why do so many people struggle with this notion of using the social web as a relationship building mechanism? It blows my mind, Jeff. I mean, you spend time on the social webs every day, and you see the same people that are just out there pushing content, pushing. They're not interacting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it'll ever go away.
Yeah.
But it's really frustrating when you see people that are, because I use my podcasting as my networking.
Yeah,
I mean, what I'm doing here with you is I'm using this medium as a way to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I were to instead meet at Starbucks, and we would probably virtually have this similar conversation, and we just wouldn't be recording it.
Right.
People say, oh, there's no business value to podcasting. Well, no, this is how I network. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to go to all these chamber mixers and association meetings and all that. And when I do, I usually end up interacting with one individual anyway who I find fascinating.
Right.
And so now you and I connected on Twitter, and each of us saw enough value in spending a few minutes together to talk. And, mm-hmm. and here we are. Now we have a different kind of relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and so who knows where that will lead us. You probably won't get as many inbound visits from your site, from my blog, as you did say from Zen Habits, but you know, probably maybe a few, but
awesome.
We're pushing the time limit. I can't believe we've already done a half an hour on this, so I guess we're gonna have to get back together again on a regular basis and continue this dialogue. Do me a favor, Jeff, before I let you go. We talked today about your book, we talked about some of the resources that you put out. You mentioned blogging and becoming a student. You have a really, really excellent email blogging course that I've actually signed up for and have enjoying. You know, I thought I knew everything about blogging, and you know, another lesson to the audience: you never know enough, and it's always good to continue your education on that. So, do me a favor and share with the audience where they can get in touch with you and learn more about all the work you're doing and get their hands on some of these manifestos and these ebooks and your email courses. Where can they go and get all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they can just go to my blog. That's sort of my home base. And, you know, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, a bunch of other crazy places. And you can connect with me at goinswriter.com. And, you know, if you want to sign up for email updates, you can do that. There's, you know, lots of opportunities to do that. There's a free course, a bunch of free ebooks. That's all on the blog.
All right. Well, Jeff Goins, it was a real pleasure to finally meet you. Thank you so much for making the time today.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. It was fun.
Okay. Well, that wraps this episode. On behalf of Jeff Goins, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you next time on Intrepid Radio.